And there's the usual bonus raid battles as well, and 4-star raids are going to be seen. Weeping Wells. I'm Weeping Well.
You're tuned into the GoCast podcast, your one-stop shop for updates, news, tips, and community in the world of Pokemon Go. Thank you for listening.
Ring the bell with Bellsprout during this weekend's Community Day.
Pokemon Go is getting that new car smell back with a visual update. And more on this episode of GoCast. Hello and welcome to the GoCast podcast, episode 278. It's April 17th, a Wednesday, not a Tuesday, not a Friday, not a Saturday, but a Wednesday, which I think is one of the rarer days for us to record. I think Monday is probably the rarest. I don't think we
have Monday.
No,
I don't know if Monday has ever happened.
It's probably happened maybe once or twice.
Maybe once.
It's
usually just kind of off limits for scheduling purposes.
We're probably in dire straits one week and we just had to do it. But anyway, I'm your host, Chris. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle.
Hiya.
Hey, Kyle, how we doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Okay? I'm doing good.
Doing good. Well, that's...
Yeah, someone put that on the list.
Positive. word number 5 enters the ring. Good. Cool. Well, it's been over a week and some change. I was supposed to do a solo show last week because I was just so busy with work that Kyle and I were not able to record together. And I continued to be so busy that I did not do one. So I do apologize for the little bit of a gap there, but we're back. And hopefully you didn't miss us too much, but we missed you. But one thing we didn't miss was holding ourselves accountable for our goals we set a couple of weeks ago or a week and a half ago or something like that. And since then, it's been Bagon Community Day Classic. We've also had this bug out event and things like that. So it's been a time. So Kyle, your goals, you could set 3. Yep. And your first one was thematically 3 sets of GBL. How'd that go?
I did do that.
Nice. What about the collection challenges? Now, I don't know which one this is. Now, was that the big and small one? I think it was.
Yeah, it was for the Wimpod, the event that had Wimpod in it, though.
Yeah.
So I did do that. I was holding out for a Snorlax for a lot longer than I thought I was going to be.
Like, yeah, it was kind of rare.
I couldn't find it on my nearby at all.
Yeah.
It was a little strange.
Kind of like wild. Yeah.
I was like, please.
There were new collection challenges for Bug Out. I think there were 2. Mm-hmm. Did you do those yet either?
I think I have to do the evolution still. Let me check. I'm catching a Wurmple.
You got to do it because that event's about to end. So, yeah. Okay. So cool. Check. And then your last goal was 300,000 experience.
I did a little bit of that.
A little bit of that.
I got, since we last recorded, I've gotten almost 3 million experience.
Okay, so I'm going to say that's a yes on that.
We rescheduled last week on Tuesday so that I could do spotlight hour and then go to bed to wake up early the next morning. So I got like 700,000 experience just from spotlight hour.
Yo, and that was for Evolutions? I got,
what was that?
Evolutions, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I popped 7 best friends this last week.
Oh, wow.
And like 6 ultra friends. Oh, and my gosh. Lucky egged all the bests and all but 2 of the ultra friends.
Wow.
And I'm annoyed because I didn't egg the ultra friends because I'm like, oh, I just popped someone else popped it, obviously. And I'm like, oh, whatever. That's fine. 50K. Close it. Next one pops up. There's another one. I'm like, I guess I'll put a lucky egg on now.
Oh, man. Too bad you can't go back.
I'm at 7 million experience in. Hang on.
Wow.
6.4 million experience in the level 48 to 49.
So, how much is left then?
25 total. So I need 19 million more.
Yeah.
18 and a half.
Yeah. Math.
I'm hoping by GoFest I can have like 12 million experience, like by the end of GoFest.
You think you're gonna, by the end of GoFest? I was gonna say, do you think you're gonna be 50 this year?
I don't think so, just because 49 to 50 by itself is another 30 million experience.
True. That is true.
I don't think I'll keep the pace up once we're in like September.
But it flies by, Kyle.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But I definitely want 50 before winter ends next year.
Okay.
So we're going to see. That gives me, 10 months to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to hit 50 before you quit this game, man. It's not taking when so I hit long. 50, you're making me nervous. That's really why you're dragging your feet. You're like, I gotta stretch this thing out. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, hey, Mr. Successful over there, congratulations on your 3 out of 3 goals. For myself, I did get to participate in Bagon Community Day Classic. I had set a goal for 20 shiny Bagon, but here's the deal with that. I didn't do it. Just clear it up up front. Didn't happen. I got like 10. I got like 10.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I was truly blessed on Bagon Community Day Classic. I got a hundo, regular old hundo, like really early on, like 5 minutes into the event. And then about an hour later, I also caught a shundo Bagon. So I got one of each. And then by that time, I had realized that I had gotten that Bagon, the shundo and the hundo. It was about 90 minutes into the event, so about halfway through. And I got to tell you, I was like, you know what? That's good enough.
Good. I don't need another 20 shinies.
I don't. I got my 10 Bagon, the shundo and a hundo. Very happy about it. I've got more than enough candy XL to get them all up when I want to. I was good. So I did drop the ball on that goal, but it was intentional. I don't know if that makes it better or worse, but whatever. 250,000 Stardust. I did do that. I am currently at 17.25 million, which is awesome. I caught myself back up. That's great. Thank goodness we had that extra time. Otherwise, I wouldn't have made it. 50 eggs hatched. It was hatched last week or 2 weeks ago, but not this previous week. So I'm going to say no, because the most recent week I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And then shiny Wimpod or Cutie Fly. I didn't get either of them. And I thought maybe I would have some luck with the bug event for either of those, because I saw Wimpod around for a bit too. But Cutie Fly's out there. No, I haven't gotten either of them. But let me tell you what I did get, because I went out for Heracross, Mega Heracross Raid Day. I did that. I did like 36, 37 raids, something like that, on foot for a lot of them too, which was awesome.
That's a lot of raids.
It was really nice. Yeah. And I got 4 shiny Heracross from that, which is an outstanding shiny raid.
Really good.
Really good. So good. But in addition to that, I also plussed a shiny Nincada, a Pidove, a Weedle, a male Combee that was in my yard.
God.
A Burmy, another Weedle. And then I traded one of my Heracross for my friend He had an extra shiny Pancham, and I got that, and it was it's 777 CP, which is cool, because I saved those because they're lucky. Not wow. Lucky, but lucky in like the gambling sense, I guess. But yeah, I really great shiny luck.
That's a lot of shinies.
The Nincada on the plus is crazy. That's crazy. Yeah.
I can't say I'm jealous, because I think I have 2 of those, but it's a good shiny. I like it.
It is. And I remember, like, it was hard for me to get when we were first looking for them, the first time it could be targeted. I didn't have any luck. I think you did. And so this was nice. The universe give me a little bit back. But let's see. So no, yes, no, no. So 1 out of 4. Okay.
Oh no.
All right. Well, good for you, Mr. Kyle. Maybe these next goals will be better. But we've got some news to get through. We've got quite a show in store for y'all. So buckle up and let's get started. Yo, what up? It's the news. Okay, we've got some news to cover. This first piece is kind of old news because it was announced like over a week ago. But, you know, this is still happening this upcoming weekend, so it's still pertinent. Gosh darn it, I swear. It is April 2024, Community Day. The featured Pokemon is going to be Bellsprout. This is going to be this Saturday, April 20th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. local time. The featured attack is going to be Magical Leaf. Which you can get from evolving Weepinbell into Victory Bell, and it's a fast attack. In trainer battles, it does 10 power, and in gyms and raids, it has 16 power. There's going to be a Community Day special research story, as always, for $1. The crowning event bonus this time is going to be 3x Stardust for catching, which is great for me personally. And then, you know, the usual bonuses will be active. So 2x candy for catching, 2x candy XL chance, lure modules and incense last for 3 hours when used during the event, snapshots, special trade, less stardust, all that good stuff. Right. And this is the usual bonus raid battles as well. And 4-star raids are going to be seen Weepinbell. Weepinbell. And so if you beat that, you'll see more Bellsprout around that gym for a bit. Field research, April Community Day themed field research will be available. These will give you rewards with additional encounters with Bellsprout, Stardust, Great Balls, and more. There's going to be showcases. There's going to be bundles in both of the usual places. And there's going to be stickers. So that's it. Yep. That's kind of a speedrun Community Day. It's Bellsprout. It's going to be extra Stardust. Magical Leaf looks cool. And that's pretty much it. If you are excited by those things, this is for you. And if you're not, that's too bad. Go do it anyway.
Wow.
Kyle, what do you
act like that?
What do you think and feel and hear and see about Bellsprout Community Day?
It's mid.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of mid. From what I've seen, Magical Leaf is both an upgrade and a side grade to Razor Leaf for Victory Bell in PvP.
Okay.
Then that's it. I don't know. I'm not excited about it. I like Bellsprout. I do.
Yeah.
But it's been around so long, it's hard for me to be excited about just a new move and the chance for the shiny that we've had featured in so many events.
Yeah, it's the shiny has been around forever.
It is a good time to use the 3x Stardust. I'm not as excited about it because I'm looking for that experience, but it's still good. Very good.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm going to play, but I'm probably not going to play the full 3 hours. I guess it depends. Is it going to be really nice on Saturday? It's been gorgeous the last few days.
I don't know. It's kind of a toss up, isn't it? It's either gorgeous or you're going to die if you stand outside for too long around here. I'm looking at the forecast here, sir. Let me just pull up the 10-day forecast. This upcoming Saturday, it's going to be partly cloudy, high of 50, low of 30. It's going to be a bit chilly.
Oh, that's a little bit cold. Okay, I probably will not play the full 3 hours. I'll probably play. Oh. We'll set the goals later, so you don't have to know about that now. And get in, get out kind of thing.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. And do you already have several shiny Bellsprout?
I think I have one that I got at
okay.
Kanto Tour. Let's go find out super quick.
I don't. Just pull mine up. I've got three. One of them, though, is relegated to Little Cup, perfect 500 CP.
Okay.
I'll have you know.
I have one that I got at Kanto Tour.
Oh, sick. Okay, cool. So, yeah, you could kind of finish that out. But, like, I've got my three. I could be done right now. Except for... Stardust. Yeah, that is the reason. That's the reason. Anyway, hopefully y'all are excited for Bellsprout. And it'll be a nice community day. And hopefully the weather's beautiful for y'all wherever you're listening from and you have a nice time. Let's move on to our next piece of news here. This is kind of a weird one. Rediscover Go. I'm just gonna read it and then we'll talk about it because there's been some reaction in the community or lack of reaction, I guess. Experience the thrill of Pokemon Go like never before with our latest updates. Discover a fresh new look with updates to the in-game map, encounter screens, battle screens, and more, all tailored to your location. From lush forests to bustling cities, tropical beaches to rugged mountains, you can immerse yourself in the diverse landscapes within Pokemon Go. Who knows what Pokemon await you on your journey? Both your avatar options and the style shop have also received updates, allowing you to express yourself with more customization options than ever before. Plus, take your Pokemon photography to new heights with our updated Go Snapshot experience, which now allows you to include up to 3 Pokemon in a single photo. And then there are some dates here. 4/17, which is today, was Rediscover Yourself. Not an hour 15 ago, the avatar update went live for everybody. Some people had it in a kind of like a, not like a closed beta, but like just it was certain places. Yeah, it was being kind of tested in some markets and stuff, right? For bugs. And then 4/22 is Rediscover Your World, which I'm assuming has to do with the overworld in-game map and changes and stuff. I got a chance to play with that for like a few days because I was on a work trip, and the place I was at had that active. It's geofence. It's not account based, which is wild because when I came back, it was gone.
That is weird.
Isn't that cool though? At the same time, it's kind of cool. I was like, this is what's going on here. Why did I get this? And I was so, so disheartened when I came back and I was like, oh, it's back to just being kind of, eh. 4/22 is also Rediscover Kanto. We can kind of assume it's going to be some sort of Kanto related event. And then 5/7 is Rediscover Your Reality. And that one will be the AR update. So while the verbiage in the post itself makes it sound as though all of these updates are live and like good to go already and we can, you know, start using them and stuff, they're not. The avatar update is, and some of these other things are live in certain places, but they're not live for everybody yet. So if you're like, why don't I see grass, why don't I see, you know, the fun mountains and stuff, well, that's not live yet. You'll see it soon. I promise. And it is nice, but yeah. So Mr. Kyle, have you had any thoughts on this, seen anything? How do you feel about Rediscover Go?
The whole thing, or specifically the avatar that we have access to right now?
You give me whatever you want. I mean, we could have a conversation about the avatars if you'd like to.
Let's talk about avatars real quick first.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's very straightforward.
Yeah.
I think it should be an object positive to have more options and choices and ways to customize your character. It is great. Like that is a great thing to add. Very happy. But I think Chris can tell you.
But
Chris can tell you about that instead, though.
Oh yeah. I'm really happy that I'm able to make my trainer a bigger guy like myself. That's wonderful. What's not wonderful is that I'm wearing Clay's cowboy hat, the white cowboy hat, and the cutie fly goggles. And the band of the goggles clips so severely with the hair on the back of my head. And then also there are 2 spots in the back of my head, just under the brim of the hat, where it's like 2 squares. You can see straight through the back of my head to the inside of the model. Like this transcends the usual clipping garbage.
Yeah.
This seemed like a big gap. It was very strange. But I am thrilled about the body type stuff. I think that's cool.
Yeah, I do think that's great. I've seen some questionable images of like the skin colors and stuff like that. That is very strange.
Do look a little washed out.
It's hard for me to comment overall because I was moderately represented already with what was in the game. And so the only thing that has really changed for me is I can make the skin paler on my character because I am far whiter than the regular skin tone used to be.
True. That's very true. Yeah. You don't have a beard in game, which is the, that's a shame. Besides the Santa beard, I know y'all don't write those emails. We know.
Beard. I'd love to hear from other people and how they're feeling about the new avatar experience, how maybe it helps fit you better or how maybe how jank the customization has been. Maybe stuff is not matching well. There are a lot of moving pieces they are working with. Yeah. So I see that, but man, it is a finite number that could be calculated that we could work on here. That's all I'm saying right now.
It is true.
The number is large, but it's finite.
But, you know, I've seen posts today since it went live before we sat down to record, people celebrating their new avatar and posting their update and stuff. And they look really good. And then I see some other people that are posting or showcasing, rather, the clipping and how some of the mismatches are really, truly mismatched. But, you know, so that is to say there's more options. But the new avatar and clothing system suffers from the same sort of pitfalls the original system did. There's just more representation. So I guess, yeah, objective, yes, good. But, yeah, I don't want to see through my head, man.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, it's wild. But so there's that.
All right. Now the rest of this.
Oh, I forgot there's more.
There is more because we have general topics to talk about here. We don't know the details of all these, but they basically told us what it is, even if we don't get to experience it. When you say rediscover Go to me, that screams something about gameplay.
Yeah.
Anything at all. And all of the stuff that's on here is all positive except Kanto. I don't need to see Kanto anymore. Honestly, I'm so done with it. But I understand it sells. It gets people to come back and play. Makes sense. I'm just tired of it.
Hey, and that's fair. That's a valid take.
But like, I feel like a lot of people are going to look at this and be like, this is the same game that I've been playing. I am not going to have a new experience. I'm not going to have new stories to tell after I'm done playing. And I think that's a big one that's kind of missing with something that you're going to advertise like this. I mean, they gave a teaser to the teaser for this one to get people like set up for it. So I'm excited for the new catch screens. And I don't care about the photography, but it definitely could. I'm excited to see what other people do with it.
Which has kind of always been the case for us. Like, we don't use it, but we like looking at cool AR photos.
Yeah. And I just, this is missing something. This, okay, hear me out. This should have launched at the exact same time as a gym rework. Boom.
Yeah.
Solved. Actually rediscover Go. We've changed one of our points of interest. We've changed the way you catch Pokemon, when you encounter Pokemon. You can customize yourself better than ever. Like, you got to give someone something to play with as well as look at. That's all.
Yeah, character customization is not gameplay. Yeah, that's a good point. The one thing I will say, though, is that when it comes to a game like Pokemon Go, where you're doing it with something else, like more often than not, you're just walking around with your multitasking, right? You're talking to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Game feel like that, even if it's really minute on the surface, does pay dividends later for how people interact with the game overall. And that's great. That's cool. But you have a really good point about gameplay, that like the Rediscover Go campaign, let's just call it that because it is a marketing campaign, definitely presents itself as a little bit more than all that in a bag of chips. And I feel like we're just getting the bag of chips with this, which is great. I love chips just fine. The visual update looks great. The day that I had to play with it, the day or two I had it, beautiful, loved it. The avatar changes, we just covered it, objectively good, right? And does the AR system need love? Absolutely. But Rediscover Go definitely also led me to believe that like the way that we catch Pokemon in an encounter was going to get updated or changed, or the way that we see Pokemon on the map is going to change, like they walk around or something. Like, it really gave off that energy.
Yeah.
So jeez. Well, anyway, I mean, all these things are still great, regardless of how you feel about Rediscover Go as phrasing or as a marketing item. Just dig around the avatar stuff, guys. We'd love to hear what your thoughts and feelings are on it. So please have fun with that. All right. We've got another event here. This one is a returning event from previous years. It is Sustainability Week. Yahoo. When is it? It'll be next Monday, April 22nd at 10 a.m. to Friday, April 26th at 8 p.m. local time. Event bonuses are increased frequency of buddy Pokemon bringing you souvenirs and presents. Your buddy will spend more time on the map after being fed berries or poffins, and the distance to earn buddy hearts will be halved. So it's a buddy-centric event, at least for the bonuses. Now, eggs. Pokemon hatched in 2-kilometer eggs obtained during this event will have a greater chance of being a shiny Pokemon than when found in the wild or via field research. The following Pokemon will hatch from 2-kilometer eggs. Combi, more Combi, Drillbur, Trubbish, Fungus, and Binacle. All of those can be shiny, so that's pretty rad. Be funny if they put a Pokemon in here that couldn't be shiny in the egg pool that has the increased shiny. They would do that too. That's such a Niantic move, but they didn't do. Field research task encounters. Event-themed field research tasks will be available. The following Pokemon will be available to encounter when you complete field research tasks. This list looks familiar. Combi, Drillbur, Trubbish, Fungus, and Binacle. It's the same Pokemon. But remember, the shiny chance is only higher in eggs. That shiny increase does not apply to the encounters you've had from field research. There's going to be some collection challenges. They're going to be event-themed, of course. Complete them to receive Stardust and experience. And then there's going to be showcases with event-themed Pokemon. So I would assume probably one of these five. You'll probably see a Combi showcase or Drillbur, Trubbish, Binacle, or Fungus.
All five, but only Binacle is going to be the biggest one.
Ooh, exactly.
Which one's the biggest one. But.
Drillbur? Drillbur probably, right?
I feel like Drillbur and Trubbish are similar size.
They're just squat, though. Yeah. I don't know. If Drillbur raised his hand straight up, he doubles his height.
Is twice as tall as Drillbur.
No shot.
Drillbur is 1 foot tall, and Trubbish is 2 feet tall.
Really?
Yeah. According to Pokédex.
That's pretty wild, actually. So one thing that's missing from this event, that was all the details of the event, by the way. One thing that's missing is there's no wild encounter pool. That is definitely notable for this event. What else about this event, Kyle, jumps out to you? Anything?
Okay, so I wanted to bring this up because you said no wild Pokemon.
Yeah.
And you're right, they don't list anything here. I think that's an oversight.
Mm.
Because they have this wording for the eggs. Higher shiny chance than when found in the wild or via research.
Yeah.
Sounds like these five are in the wild and they're in research. And we can see later on here that they are indeed all five in research. So I wonder if that is that wild spawn pool and they just aren't directly announcing it and they'll be like, here you go, play the game and you'll see them. Because this is a wild pool of just these five, this is no joke, probably the best five pool of Pokemon they've ever done.
Yeah, it's extra Stardust on three of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to wait and see. If these are in the wild, this is an awesome, 4-day event. This event is actually horrendous and one of the worst events they've ever done. I'm not even joking. I'm not even joking. I know that sounds hyperbolic, but
it feels accurate when you say it. I would kind of like for them to just start omitting random things from these posts that we have to figure out. It would make the show so much more interesting where we have to find the missing bonus or something just from everything else that's implied. So, okay. Also, a sticking point for me with these blog posts is that somewhere along the way, pretty recently, they stopped including images of Pokemon. Yeah. And it's just text. It's just flat text. A list. They're bullet pointed. They did give us the bullet points, but it's just text. And to me, that feels so bad.
Let's be real here. They 100% fired all the graphic designers except for two that work at Niantic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two people are making all of the graphics at Niantic. The one person made the picture at the top, and then an intern wrote the text for the rest of this.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I kind of hope it's just one person, and maybe they would have some similarities between the decisions they make on if they capitalize the B in bonuses for event bonuses or not, because they didn't in this one, but in the next one they did. Crazy. It's crazy out here. Anyway, I hope you're right, and I hope that, you know, it's just an implied wild spawn pool. That'd be pretty cool. But I will also remind you, Kyle, that this is going to be for an entire stinking week that we'll have these five. So even if they are good, I think we'll all be a little tired by them on Thursday or Friday.
I mean, I won't get tired of catching Trubbish and Fungus. I will be so – I am so tired of catching Combi, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not – I don't even catch them despite the bonus dust, because it will genuinely probably take more effort than it's worth.
Yeah, it takes like 16 balls to catch them.
I'll throw an Ultra Ball at it. And if I don't quick catch it, I am moving on, because that Pokemon's catch rate is way, way too low.
It is. It is. Yeah, I love pulling it up. It's got like a CP of like 175. And that circle is redder than a sunset.
that circle is more red than when I do a legendary raid. Like, yeah, good
crazy,
Lord.
Crazy, crazy. Anyway, so there's that. That's sustainability week. We've got one more news item here, and this is a fun ? Event. Cleffa Hatch Day. Woohoo! Hatch Day. That'll be Sunday, April 29th from 2 to 5 p.m. local time. The featured Pokemon will be, you guessed it, Cleffa, and they will hatch much more frequently from 2 kilometer eggs, and you'll have an increased chance of hatching shiny Cleffa. Event bonuses, 2x candy from hatching eggs. The increased shiny chance is listed yet again, because it is a bonus, why not? And then 2 kilometer eggs will drop more frequently from Pokestops. It'll be like 90% of the time you'll get a 2 kilometer egg, 95%. Cool. Great. More Cleffa. Time to research. Event exclusive time to research. Awarding a super incubator and experience will be available at no cost. We love to see it. But of course, it is accompanied by also a paid time to research. This is only going to be for $1. 2x hatch Stardust for the entirety of the event if you buy this ticket. But in addition to that, you're going to get a challenge, or I think they mean tasks here, to walk 2 kilometers. To earn 1 star piece, 1 super incubator, and some experience. Oh, I'm sorry. It says the time to research will challenge you to hatch an egg and walk 2 kilometers. So if you pay the dollar, you get the 2x hatch Stardust for the event. And then if you walk 2 kilometers and hatch an egg for this challenge, you also get that star piece, that super incubator, and some amount of experience, which makes this very good value for a dollar. It's not too bad. So yeah, if you're going to do the event, just do it. You know, and then there's Hatch Day extended bonuses. This was very strangely organized on the blog. Friday, April 26th at 10 a.m. to Sunday, April 28th at 5 p.m. local time, there will be half egg hatch distance when eggs are placed into incubators during that time. There will be certain field research task rewards. There's also going to be a web store bundle and an event bundle in the in-game shop. So, Hatch Day Cleffa, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah, as the resident egg guy, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm not too thrilled that it's Cleffa, but it had to happen at some point. I just feel like we've had so many Clefairy events that Cleffa has also kind of just been sort of featured in and eggs as an accompanying thing. That this almost feels like a Hatch Day classic in my brain for some reason.
I don't. It's fine. Like,
yeah,
it's fine.
It is.
I don't actually have a shiny Cleffa.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to be able to play because I'm going to be at work during this time. But I'm not too heartbroken about it. That's okay. I would.
You didn't request off for Cleffa?
No. I don't request off for anything that's not a community day that's not a classic at this point, because
or Go Fest,
yeah, or well, like an actual event. If I have to go somewhere, I request that off. But
yeah,
if it falls on a Sunday and it's really important, I'll try and get the shift covered. If it's not, then you know, I live with it. I'm sad I didn't get to do Bagon. I could have probably cleared 5 million experience last week.
You could have,
if I absolutely could have, but you know what? that just happens. And that's okay.
I also do not have a shiny Cleffa, so I guess I should shut my mouth and get to hatching. Gosh, if only there was an event.
I guess you're going to play this event a little more than you thought you were going to.
I guess so, huh? I just also, I got it pops up, you know, like the Masterhold 27 opened my gift and received 7 items or whatever. And it's got Mark's new avatar up there, that picture. Okay. Definitely got a little jump scare. I wasn't expecting to see the new avatar up there. That's crazy.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, man. By the way, Marky, if you're listening here, hi, by the way. But also, your avatar looks nice.
Just one of the female avatars on my friends list. That does not look good. that does not look good.
We'll have to get used to it. It's an adjustment period, you know, to some degree. Parts of this, you can make some good claims that maybe the skin tone is too pale or whatever, right? And the faces seem a little strange. But we have to give the system a little bit of grace as we adjust.
Yeah. So, it's just. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's it. Maybe I'll see you out there on Cleffa Hatch Day, y'all. Maybe not. We'll see. But that's it for the news. Lots of exciting stuff happening, have happened, etc. But we've got the rest of the show to do, so I'm going to pass on over to Kyle for this week's Gear Up segment.
So this week, we're going plus Ultra with more Ultra Beasts. We talked about Ultra Beasts 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now on Gear Up, but we actually have more to talk about now, potentially. Woo! And a third one that's not an Ultra Beast, but I'm including it because let's be real. Everybody wants to include it with them.
That's
but
true.
Go anyways, ahead. First up, we have Blacephalon. Pokemon that's near and dear to me, even though it is a very strange Pokemon. Ghost Fire type. Now, this is the most important part. It has 315 attack.
Whoa!
Which I was not able to find a list for whatever reason, but when I was writing this, I believe that makes it the second highest attack in the game, below attack form Deoxys and above regular Mewtwo.
Okay.
Because regular Mewtwo has 300. I do know that off the top of my head. So that is insane. That is a crazy amount of attack. And then it has a moderate defense, 146, and a pretty low HP of 124. Like, that's not very good, but that's okay. We've dealt with worse. So, on paper, Blacephalon is going to be really, really good.
Yeah.
The only ghost fast move it learns regularly by leveling up in the main series is Astonish, which is not good. That's unfortunate. But it does learn Shadow Claw via TMs. So there's a chance it could know Shadow Claw, but we're going to assume it's going to know Astonish. Just maybe it doesn't know any ghost moves and that'll be a tragedy, but we're going to hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even with Astonish and Shadow Ball, it is the highest DPS of any non-shadow mega ghost type in the entire game. And the only thing above it are Shadow/Mega Gengar, Shadow Chandelure, and Mega Banette. So like it's exactly what you'd expect to be above it. In terms of overall performance with Astonish and Shadow Ball, it's slightly worse than Giratina because it's so squishy. But that basically makes Blacephalon like the Ultra Beast version of Gengar.
Just
really, really high damage. But you're probably going to fall over to a Stiff Breeze. The nice part is you don't have a weakness to Psychic, though. So much more useful. So I'm excited for Blacephalon. It turns out that it's in raids in those question mark slots for GoFest, I will do copious amounts. There's not going to be enough raids to do the amount of raids that I will want to do for GoFest at this current rate.
Yeah, I'm excited for Blacephalon too. It's going to be a great Pokemon. Even if it wasn't good, I'd still be excited.
Yeah, I just wouldn't raid a bunch of it. I'd get a few and then.
Yeah. Can I tell you what I'm actually most excited about though with Blacephalon, especially if it happens like in New York while we're there, right? just hearing the sheer amount of creativity that people will have to have trying to say this name if they don't know how it's pronounced.
Oh no.
I can't I can't wait to hear like 15 different
Blaise Falon.
Yeah. Black of Falon.
Oh, that'll be fun. A lot of people who maybe don't pay attention to stuff as they're getting announced and teased for Pokemon don't know about other Ultra Beasts. So
yeah,
just seeing this one is like, what is this? What is this?
Yeah. Is this a crossover event with some other
game? The wormhole open and it's going to take its head off and roll it around its arms. You're going to be like, hello?
It's going to be a lot of people looking at their phone going, ooh.
Yeah. I love it though. People criticize it, but I love it. It is.
They're wrong. It's great. Sorry, DeFi. No, you're not a big Blacephalon fan, but it's cool. It's cool.
Next up, there's Stakataka. Unfortunately, it's too defensively oriented to be useful in PvE, but it has a whopping 298 defense.
Whoa.
So if we get a research level one like we did for Buzzwole and Pheromosa 2 years ago now, oh my lord, there's potential. If you don't get a research level one, it can't get to Great League, so it'd be stuck in Ultra League. I didn't look at its potential moves, but its potential rocks moveset was just not good for PvE.
No.
This is the Ultra Beast I don't care for. And I'm hoping maybe Go will change my mind, because it did change my mind about like Zerkatry and Celesteela.
Didn't you like Breath of the Wild?
I mean, yeah.
It's like one of those things. It's like one of those things. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit, but it's just kind of boxy. It's kind of boxy for me.
It's a huge box with legs. I just really hate cubes. I can't get over it. Not a big fan of cubes.
Kind of guy.
Yeah. Truly ballin' in every way, Kyle.
Last up, and this one's going to be quick. It's not an Ultra Beast. Let's get this straight. It's not an Ultra
Beast. I already yelled at the beginning of the show before we started.
Necrozma. I know it looks like an Ultra Beast. It's not. Beast Balls don't work on it in the main series games. So sue me. But it's relevant because everyone thinks it's an Ultra Beast.
Yeah.
It has very good base stats, but there's no reason to read them out right now because its potential move pool is really bad. The move pool people are theorizing for it, no stab moves.
Amazing. It's
not gonna be good. Oh,
music to my ears, Kyle.
Why you're Chris is a big anti-Necrozma.
Necrozma.
I love Necrozma. Ultra Necrozma is whatever, but Dusk Wing Necrozma and Dusk Mane Necrozma are so good.
I think those are really cool. Those are really cool. But base Necrozma, miss me with that.
I love it.
Polygon stuff, man. I don't want that.
So you don't like oh my gosh, what was it from Sword and Shield's name? The virus. Eternatus.
I like Eternatus just fine.
Eternatus is like purple red Necrozma. Come on.
No. It looks organic. It's got like that.
No, it doesn't. It looks as inorganic as it could possibly be.
But it looks like a creature. Like to me, like Necrozma looks like it's out of like Gurren Lagann or something. Like,
oh my goodness.
I just am not here for it. I'm just okay. Not.
Well, if the stats are, well, if the move pools are to hold true, Necrozma is really just going to be a holdover for Ultra Necrozma and Dawnwing and Duskmane Necrozma. However, Niantic chooses to deal with those. Hopefully we get those sooner than later. And if they do, and they have okay moves, Dawnwing and Duskmane Necrozma are going to be quite good.
Yeah.
They're going to be quite good. They have very high stats.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Niantic goes about that. I'm really hoping for a form change or a fusion, like a mega evolution type plugin. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it's just a question whether, because I don't know from the game, so I didn't really pay attention or play it. The form is permanent though in the game, right? You just have it in your party. It doesn't change because you have both of them in your party and now they're one Pokemon, right?
I don't believe so. Although I also don't really remember, because remember, I dislike Necrozma, so I never used it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, but the fusion is so good.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. It's very,
all right. Very, well, cool. Here's looking forward to that. I am going to be sad when we have a million raids and I'm stuck with Pheromosa instead of being able to do Bucephalon in New York, but I'll do as many as I can.
All right. All right, folks. Well, you are now more prepared for the upcoming Ultra Beasts. Thank you, Mr. Kyle. All right, we're going to take a quick little break here. And when we come back, we'll be hopping into Pokepoll. We're going to be skipping over Pokelore this week. Welcome back. It's time for Pokepoll. Mr. Kyle, if you would.
Last Pokepoll was, what real-life animal or object deserves to have a Pokemon designed after it? What would it be like? First response from Carlo. He said, we need a Sculpin Pokemon, commonly known as the Blobfish. It could have a weather-related form change, pressurized versus depressurized. I think it would be a real neat thing that could draw attention to a weird and unique fish. Okay. Yeah. I feel like they'd want to avoid the whole depressurized thing. But I think
of
Pokemon based on what the Blobfish actually looks like in its environment could be pretty cool.
I feel like Clodsire is pretty close.
Yeah, Clodsire is kind of Blobfish, although he's more of the depressurized one, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. The next response is from Sarah Lore, and they said, my son and I had a couple ideas. The first one was a picture frame / painting. It could be a ghost type that absorbs the essence of whatever it's battling, take an image, and slowly puts it into the frame over time, taking on its properties and possibly its abilities. Maybe it's like a reverse Dorian Gray, forcing the opponent to age or lose energy / moves. Our second idea was for another type of fruit similar to Applin. This one, though, could be either a convergent or a regional form. It could be a sort of sour citrus fruit, maybe like a lemon. And of course, in terms of typing, it would have to be grass and poison type. Yeah. Oh, I like the picture frame idea.
Yeah, that's sick. That is sick. Yeah. And I think doing basing it off of something like a reverse Dorian Gray, which sounds like some sort of like football move or something, like, oh, I'm going to go pull a reverse Dorian Gray. No, that's cool. I wish that there were more references to things like that. Like, you know, the animals and object stuff is cool, but I wish there were more like cultural references in Pokemon that were more robust than just some animal stuff. Like, I guess we've seen like dances and stuff like with Oricorio and other things like that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, and of course, literary work. Gyarados is like a mythological origin.
Yeah. Which is
culturally like that.
Yeah.
But like, of course, there's probably a decent amount of it in older games, especially that just happen to be more Japanese oriented. So we don't.
Yeah.
Them out, so.
That's fair. Yeah. It would be lost on us. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
I love the idea, though. I don't know how you balance it because like stealing stats is super strong.
Mm-hmm.
But it would definitely be cool, like, if after three turns you get like +1 to all stats and the opponent gets -1 to all stats, or maybe four turns, you know, whatever needs to balance it out. That'd be a cool idea.
Yeah.
Next response from Maxitron. They said, would love to see a burrowing owl Pokemon, ground flying, and maybe has a mechanic like Wishy-Washy or a mouse hold. Oh, I love Wishy-Washy.
Wishy-Washy is cool. Yeah, burrowing owl Pokemon would be
what
sick.
What is a burrowing owl?
They're owls that live in burrows. They literally
I got that, but like...
Dick, that's it. That's all there is to it. Otherwise, they're owls.
So they live in a hole in the ground, but they hunt the same as other owls?
I want to say, and I feel like I'm going to... I might have to give up my bird lover card here. If I get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure they're mostly desert based where there isn't like a lot of trees and like the best cover is like foliage on the ground.
Okay. Okay. Sure.
I think that's true.
I'm for it.
But yeah, they're just owls that dig. The big old feet, they dig, hide in that hole. Come on out.
I assume they must be a little bit more group oriented with the wishy-washy slash mousehold reference.
I would imagine so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, it's a good idea.
Next one's from Matters, and he said, "Hello, gents and DeFi E250. Inspired by Kyle's original musings of episode 163, I'd also choose the humble book. It would be a ghost type. Obviously, it's Kyle inspired, and have three evolutionary forms. Note ghost would be the primary form, a single page and quill of ghastly lure that would then evolve into tomb tome, a gruesome book of horrors, and then finally Spookberry, the haunted library Pokemon that holds the souls of the children Drifloon has led away. Loving your work as ever. Cheers."
Huh.
Yeah. I love it.
I like that. The names are good too.
Yeah, I love it. Tomb Tome. Tomb Tome is good. It's good. I like it.
Yeah. I read that as Tome Tome in my head, and now I'm realizing that that's wrong.
I can't look at Tome anymore in my life without remembering a coworker pronouncing epitome as epitome.
Epitome.
So I just have to share that story with everybody.
At least that person could make change, though, right?
They could, but they were also an English major in college going on to tutor English. So
you should have been like, "You are just the epitome, aren't you?"
Yeah. Our next sponsor is from Dapper Drampa. They said, "Being from New England, I'd say a moose Pokemon. It's also a great opportunity for Ground Fairy, which we haven't seen yet. Moose are corpuscular.
Yeah.
Which means they are most active at dusk. So you could do an ethereal moose."
Oh, that'd be cool. Like Glastrier, but a moose.
Yeah.
Or
Ground Fairy checks out too. I like it. The fact that we don't have a moose Pokemon. Yeah.
Insulting almost. Wow. Feels like a big gap. What an easy win that could have been.
That's got to be in Gen 10. That's like on the same level as a flamingo and a dolphin Pokemon for sure.
Okay, so hear me out. Like, Sawsbuck is not a moose, but it's a really big deer that gets kind of close. And
but like
deer's got the big face like a moose does. You know?
I mean, they're in the same family in the same way that Bouffalant and Taurus are in the same family. Though. They can both exist without needing to be the same thing.
Yeah, no, that's
the standout there.
That's a good point.
Whenever
that's
anyone point. Says that two Pokemon are two similar concepts, just say Taurus and Bouffalant. And you can end the conversation right there.
Alomomola and Love Disc.
Oh my God. Easiest slam dunk in the world.
These are crimes, Kyle. They can't keep getting away with this, man. When will it end?
They do keep getting away with it.
I know. Oh my gosh. Okay. We've also got two voicemails. This first one is from Lady Cat. The transcription for the voicemail said Lady Cat TV, and I couldn't quite hear it. Kyle has a different opinion. But this is from that person. Here you go.
Hi, my name is Lady Cat TV, and it is my first time calling in to answer the PokePoll. I am a middle-aged lady who picked up Pokemon Go this summer, not to play with my kids or anything like the other middle-aged ladies say, just because I thought it would be fun, and it is. And I'm enjoying the podcast. So the question was about which animals and inanimate objects deserve their own Pokemon, and I have strong feelings. My favorite animal is the lemur, and lemurs deserve a Pokemon so bad. The ring-tailed lemur, which is the most common kind, the way they fight is absolutely adorable. They have scent glands on their wrists that produce this stinky substance, and then they coat their tail in that stinky substance, and they waft it in the air. Does that say Pokemon or what? That would be a great attack, a stink attack.
Yeah.
And also, continuing on the middle-aged lady theme, an inanimate object that deserves a Pokemon is a rolling pin. Think of a little rolling pin standing on its end, wearing an apron, maybe with some flower dust around it, and it hops along behind you when it's your buddy. And when it attacks, it kind of bonks you on the head. I would have that as my buddy any day. Thank you for the podcast. It's really helped me up my gameplay. I'm already level 39, having started in July, and I'm only getting better. Thank you. Bye.
Oh, your 1 year Pokeversary is coming on up, and you're already basically level 40. That is really good work.
Yeah, that's good. Great. Also great suggestions.
Yeah, the rolling pin is great. I would love to see more cooking implements like that, like a spatula or something.
I like the lemur. I didn't know that fact about lemurs. I had no idea. that is the most Pokemon animal I've ever heard. Next to the fact that platypus are poisonous. So,
and egg laying mammals
and egg laying, very Pokemon too. Where's the platypus?
Yeah, where is the platypus? Why can't we get like a regional form of Psyduck where he's got a big beaver tail and call it a day and then gets poison typing? You know, that'd be great. But thank you for that lovely voicemail. We've also got a voicemail from my Starpiece co-host. Who could it be?
Hello, Chris. Hello, Kyle.
Hi, Lachlan.
Lachlan from Starpiece. I think that's how I call myself in the Discord now. but I would like to vocally answer this week's poker poll. And that is, what is a real life animal or object that I believe should get a Pokemon design? Now, for listeners who might not yet listen to Starpiece, this is very similar to a conversation Chris and I have with our guests at the end of every show. So if you haven't listened to those episodes yet, I definitely recommend checking that out.
He's like biased. That plug,
I hope you did. Well, my answer for this is something I don't think I've said yet on Starpiece. And that would be, I'd like to see a Colossian evolution of Paris. So Kalos with Legends AZ coming out. ZA, I should say. And yes, I'm going to say ZA just to really rub it into the Americans.
Zed.
And I would like to see Colossian Parasect being a bug and steel type with the abilities Heat Proof and Volt Absorb as its main abilities. And I'd like to see it modeled after Lumiose Tower or the Eiffel Tower. They could also do a Mega Parasect with the same bug steel typing and ability, but they would have to pick one, not both. And I just think it would be really funny to see that mushroom just become a giant steel tower instead. And I think that'd be a really cool way of having Kalos variant of Paris, because Paris, as we all know, is the capital of France. And I think that would be a really funny inside joke, because I don't think that translates to every region in the world. Hope you have a good rest of your show. All the best. Bye from Australia.
Paris is a really good answer.
Paris is pretty good. Oh my gosh,
it'd be funny if in order to evolve it, you had to like give it a baguette or a stick of butter or something. That'd be great. Could you hold the stick of butter? Oh, I'm getting taller. No, that's a good idea. I like that. I kind of wish that they would revisit some old bug Pokemon. I guess they did for Dynamax Butterfree. We got that, didn't we? Or Gigantamax Butterfree, rather. We've had some love for some of the older bugs, but Paris needs some love for sure. Yeah. Either way, thank you very much for the voicemail, Lachlan. And he's right. You should go listen to Starpiece if you haven't already. Got some fun stuff going on over there. I've got two in the can. I'm editing one right now, and I have another one on deck. And we're supposed to record tomorrow again. So wow. Wowie zowie. So much stuff. Anyway, Kyle, what is this week's PokePoll question?
This week's PokePoll question is, which starter Pokemon are your most and least favorite?
Yeah, we're gonna start screaming, jumping up and down, ruining friendships with this question. I'm very excited.
Stir the pot here.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, you can go first.
Why do you want me to go first?
Because I need to think about it at least for a moment.
Okay. Best starter, hands down, Cyndaquil, right? Obvious choice for me. And my least favorite starter is, I'm keeping it real close, Chikorita. Sorry. Not a fan of Chikorita. I don't like it. Time's up, okay. Kyle.
Okay, good. This is good. Now, I think the best starter
He's smiling. What are you going to say?
I'm so torn. It's so hard for me to find this one. The best one's so hard. The worst one's also really hard, too, for me.
Yes.
Fue Coco.
For best?
For best. I think Fue Coco is the best starter. I love that Pokemon so much. Cannot describe it. Rowlet is a close second, but it's brain empty, dopey face is so perfect that I can't.
Don't watch the new anime on Netflix if you want to continue to love Fue Coco.
Okay.
They have whoever they decided to voice Fue Coco does a great job, but it's really obnoxious. He's just like like constantly just yammering, which fits Fue Coco, but at the same time, there were several times I was watching, I'm like, man, can we go back to Sprigatito?
All right. So I have a tie for my least favorite.
All right. Oh, geez. Okay.
I was going to say Chikorita.
Okay.
Because I think it might be Chikorita, but you also have said Chikorita. So my actual Chespin? Answer is Chikorita, but for the sake of us not having the same answers, it's Chespin.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it.
Chespin is bad. Chespin is bad. Chestnuts is a mid-tier final evolution. I think Chespin is just bad.
Man, I like Chespin so much more than Quilladin and Chestnut.
Well, Quilladin's awful. Quilladin is the worst mid evolution of all. Like, if you had to ask me which wasn't the worst mid evolution, it's Quilladin, and it's not even close.
You know, Quilladin looks like, you know how all fairy tales used to actually just be like horror stories, like nightmarish, and like those old timey illustrations of like Pinocchio and Humpty Dumpty that look very strange. Quilladin's face has that energy to it. The big nose and the smile and the hook.
a lot of starter Pokemon have, I don't know what you want to call this syndrome, but it's a syndrome where they very, very clearly designed the first stage and the third stage separately, but together.
Yep.
And then they had to design a second stage that bridged the gap. And it's in its most obvious and least natural in Quilladin.
Ooh. Okay, so now that we've both answered, I've got another question for you, and maybe this would be good in the future for another Pokeball. But which starter middle evolution do you think is the best?
Middle evolution. That's actually a lot harder because I don't know them all off the top of my head. I'd probably have to look at a list. So give me a second. I will look here and picture it in my head.
I've got my answer. I actually have two that I think are mighty good.
Okay.
I think Grottle is very good. Very good middle between Turtwig and, oh my gosh, what's his name?
Torterra.
Torterra. Thank you. I was like, Grovyle. That's a different line in a different Pokemon in my head. But the Raboot. Raboot, I think, is the best middle evolution. Hands down.
Raboot is very good.
Yeah.
Raboot is very good.
It's got its own identity. It doesn't feel like a halfway point. It feels like it a logical progression, and it got its own love along the way. Thwacky is also pretty good. The Galarian. Thwacky
is great for the comedy factor of it. It's so good.
Yeah.
So Raboot is up there for me. And it's funny because I'm pretty sure that Raboot is actually like it's pretty hated amongst a lot of the community.
Really?
A lot of people don't like Raboot.
Oh, they're wrong. Raboot's great.
Raboot's up there. I think Frogadier. I think Frogadier is the best middle evolution. It's such a natural progression of Froakie to Greninja while still like being a Pokemon. And that not being like you pressed pause in between the evolution.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. One that I wish. Okay, I love Wartortle a lot, just because original Squirtle is also great, right? People love Squirtle. Wartortle is great, but if you look at it, they gave it two extra tails and then put ears on a Squirtle.
I mean, let's face it, all the Gen 1 starter middle evolutions suffered from poor design. Like Charmeleon, if Charmeleon didn't change color, you wouldn't almost be able to tell from like the behind.
It should. I feel like Charmeleon was always missing something.
Yeah.
It should have had like I like that it goes from no horn to one horn to two horns, but like the wings should have been addressed somehow. Yeah, something.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
On that same note, then one to call out, Marsh Stomp.
Oh yeah.
It's not terrible, but it's missing something. Like mm-hmm. it is does not make
brain cells. Have you
it
seen
it? Does
his
not
face?
Make much sense. Between Mudkip and Swampert, because Swampert yeah. is so good.
Yeah, Swampert's really awesome. Yeah, it's wild. It like stands up and then it like kind of goes back to all fours almost.
Yep.
Wild. Wild. Anyway, dear listener, if you have an answer to this week's PokePoll question, which is which starter Pokemon are your your most and least favorite? Which starter Pokemon are your most and least favorite? You can answer that question when we post it on X at GoCast Podcast. Find us there. Follow us there. You can send in an email to mail@gocastpodcast.com. You could also leave us a voicemail with your answer by calling 262-586-7717. If you're listening on the Spotify mobile app, you can interact with this episode. There's like an interact tab or something on the episode page when you navigate there. You can answer the question there. If you're watching the video version on YouTube, yes, hi, hello, we're waving to you. Please go check that out, by the way, and subscribe if you haven't. You can leave a comment on the YouTube channel, the YouTube video, rather, with your answer. Or if you're a patron of ours via Patreon, we have in our patron-exclusive Discord a channel dedicated to PokePoll responses. You can also post that there. But speaking of emails, voicemails, and other ways people contact us, Mr. Kyle, what part of the show are we at now? It's getting kind of late.
It's time for emails.
That's true. And three voicemails. We're going to start with the voicemails. And this first one is coming from Sarah Manda.
Hey, GoCast. It's Sarah Manda here. So, yes, back in March, they added a bajillion people to Community Masters, and I was in that wave of people, which is pretty exciting because I submitted my application and, you know, forgot about it because nothing was happening. Anyway, in some ways, I also forget Community Master because I've been doing this stuff since forever. The biggest change is the fact that I should show up early to the meetups instead of literally right on time. What's so cool is you can now get codes for non-community day events as well, which is great because that's what I do like all the time already. So raid hour, like you just a week ahead of time, be sure you ask for the codes and then you can post them for the people or you can distribute them for the people who attend and they can get like three additional free raid passes. So it's so cool, you know, so just they can do like the two, because there's a lot of people who come, they'll do their two free raids and they'll leave. But now people can do two plus one for the season plus three more from the codes. They can do six raids and have an actual raid hour for free. It's good.
That's pretty cool.
Anyway, another side note, I'm actually also a Wayfair ambassador, which because the two titles are so similar, but they're quite different. I get them, I mean, I think people get them a little confused, including me sometimes, because whenever people say ambassador, I think Wayfair ambassador, but then I'm like, oh, they're talking about community ambassador. I'm like, yes, I've been doing that for years. anyway, I mean, I've been doing kind of like that, but not like that. Anyway, that's all. Peace. Sorry, Amanda.
Thank you for clarifying, and congratulations again, officially, instead of us being like, was it? Yes? No?
Yeah,
yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was really, really cool. And I knew they were giving out like the community day codes and stuff. We talked about that a little bit. But it's cool. They're giving out codes for like non-community day events, like you're saying. That's sweet. Three remote raid passes off of a code that they got for free just by showing up to this locally run community ambassador meetup is kind of substantial. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. It's yeah. pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people would have been happy with even just one, but three, that's pretty sick. But thank you very much for the voicemail, as always, Sarah Manda. This next one is from Brio.
Hey guys, it's Brio. Just wanted to call and say hey again. It's been a little while since I left you a voicemail. Couple of things. First of all, Sarah Manda, super excited that you're a community ambassador. I don't know where you are, but I'll talk to you. And if you have any questions, me and Lachlan, I'm sure, can answer them for you. Welcome to the group. That's super awesome. I know you guys were talking about Campfire not being useful. As far as community ambassadors go, it's super useful. We definitely use it for our check-ins. In fact, here in Loveland, we got our first 100 check-in day, which was just last last Sunday for Bagging Community Day. So that was amazing.
Nice.
It is a great perk that it gives away a free the free research when you check in. I know they had some issues on the first day. It was Litton Community Day, and they were giving away, you know, the free research. And if you didn't get one, you should have got a little bonus back from Niantic, but we can dig into that later. So anyways, just wanted to say, hey, thanks for everything. Always love love the content. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys soon. And Amanda, or Sarah Amanda, we'll talk soon too. Talk to you soon. Bye.
All right, great. Yeah, no, that's pretty rad. What did he mean by kickback from Niantic, do you think? A little bonus.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie.
It was very vague. I'm filling it with answers from my head. One raid pass. One half of a raid pass. A torn raid pass. No, that's so cool. No, thanks for calling in, Brio. And thank you for offering your friendly community ambassadorship advice, too. Appreciate it. And congratulations on 100 check-in day for Bag On Community Day Classic. That's pretty massive. 100 people for, I'm assuming, not a big area is pretty great. So good on you. We do have one more voicemail, although this person did not provide a name, so I have it marked as unknown caller, episode 278. So this one is from unknown caller.
Hey, Chris and Kyle. I don't normally have time to call in and leave a voicemail, but when I do, it's because my email would have been too long. I was listening to both of you talk about Mega Heracross and how mechanical it is, and wondered if real-life beetles also struggle from overheating. Mega Scizor also melts its, if left flapping its wings, and this is apparently so in real life. Flying produces a lot of heat in beetles, and their upper limit is around 122 degrees Fahrenheit or 50 degrees Celsius before they shut down and probably die.
Oh.
Nowhere near the temperature Scizor would need to melt metal body parts, but they both melt, so... I don't know. I didn't know beetles could get so hot, to be honest. While I was thinking of writing this script out, because I would have otherwise been a mess, I thought of a couple of getting to know you questions. Chris, what is your favorite beetle-like Pokemon? I like Vikavolt, but I wish it didn't have to fly. I'm not counting Scyther as being beetle-like, but I can change my mind with a convincing enough argument. What is your favorite real-life beetle, if you have one? I like the Eastern Hercules beetle because it's the biggest one I've seen. Kyle, what is your favorite type of ghost Pokemon? A full body apparition or a haunted object? And within the one you pick, which one is your favorite? I know this sounds like it might be a creative way to confirm that you really like Gengar, but maybe it's not. I think I like apparitions more, and I don't know how it fits as a ghost type, but I like Decidueye the most. And then what is your favorite ghost story in real life? This one is hard because I've heard a few, and I think some of them are just sensational. But I like the one that I heard in Georgia at a scout camp once where there are these two rival families. One starts haunting another, and, you know, it's just good for jump scares around the campfire.
Yeah.
To briefly answer the PokePoll about adding a move to Pokemon Go, I'd like to see Disable and or Imprison added. Disable would temporarily stop your opponent from using charge moves for 5 seconds, and Imprison would stop them from using any of the same fast and charge moves your Imprison user has. It's risky because you may call your opponent's moveset wrong and then be out of a second charge move. But if you get it right, even for just one of the moves or just the fast move, you shut them down. Pretty brutal. But anyways, that's it for my call. Shiny vibes all. Bye.
I love that idea for Disable and Imprison, by the way. That's super cool. Would be very strong and almost non-negotiable for a competitive GBL team, I think. Disable in particular sounds really, really strong. But we had a bunch of getting to know you questions in there, Mr. Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go from the top there. He asked me what my favorite beetle-like Pokemon was, and I think the answer has to be Heracross. I do love Heracross, not just because Heracross is topical and just had a raid day, but I love Heracross. Heracross is a great Pokemon. Lots of personality, beautiful design. We love it. My favorite beetle in real life is actually also the Hercules beetle. I don't have a particular version of the Hercules beetle that I like more than the other. I just like it. I was watching...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, like a documentary sequence where like they were fighting on top of a tree and then he throws him off, you know, like they tussle, right? And I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
I've seen an edit of two Hercules beetles fighting to like, but it was like anime.
Oh,
like,
nice.
It was a real Beetle fight, but it was with anime like lines over top of it with like the voice acting of like, oh,
and it's, that sounds awesome
with music behind it. I'll, if I can find it, it was very funny.
Oh, oh please. God. Yeah. Please send that by that. That sounds incredible. So favorite ghost type for you? I don't think I'm skipping a question here. Was a favorite.
Well, the
ghost
question was, do I like things that possess objects more, or things that have a body, or things that don't have a body?
Yeah, apparition or a physical thing, I think.
So like Gengar would count as an apparition.
Yeah.
Even though it's kind of it has a body because it's not possessing other objects.
It's a shadow, right?
So like Gengar is my favorite Pokemon. And in the context of that question, though, I'm going to give a different one because I think it's I love this so much. Is I think most of the possession Pokemon are top tier. Like some of the apparition Pokemon are kind of mid or whatever, but I think pretty much all of the possession ones are really good.
Yeah.
And amongst the possession ones, my favorite one is Aegislash. Like it's it's so good.
That's a good Pokemon. Yeah.
And you asked about a real life ghost story. I have a great one, and it's a personal one. It's not one I've heard about. It's a personal one. I love this story. I tell it all the time at work because we have a ghost in our store. I don't know if I've told Chris this story. It's been a while though. I'll try to make it brief, but we do a clean play at our stores at the end of the night, one night after we close for about 2 hours, just three partners doing disruptive cleaning tasks or whatever.
You're using a lot of Starbucks coded language. So they do some deep cleaning tonight when the store is closed.
Figure out what I mean by cleaning things that are disruptive. It doesn't matter. The point is that we're in the store by ourselves.
Yes.
We're in the store by ourselves, just the partners. We are closed. It is 11 o'clock at night. It is 10 o'clock at night, whatever. When we closed at 9, so we worked till 11. For a period of time, it was supposed to be three partners. It was just two of us because no one else had the availability to actually work at that time of night. And one night our manager was like, yeah, I'm going to come back and do clean play with you guys. She had worked like 7 to 2 or whatever. And she's like, yeah, I'll be back. And me and my coworker were like, she's not coming back. There's no chance. She's not going to say anything. There's no chance.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So we just finished the night, got started doing whatever we needed to do. We're both in the back room. And if you've ever worked in a restaurant or anything like that, you'll know the sound I'm talking about. The sound of somebody going through double doors, double swinging doors, like just hitting them as they're going through it without caring for where they're going to go. And they like bang open.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the back and we hear that. And we're like, she must have shown up. Go out there. Doors aren't moving. She's not there. There is nothing has fallen. Nothing is broken. There is nothing out of place. And that's it. We're just like, well, that was very strange.
Did you have your headsets on?
Huh?
Did you have your headsets on?
Nope.
Whoa.
No headsets. It was 100% that distinct noise. And it was bizarre. And we were just like, we're just going to go back to cleaning.
Wow. Wow. So I worked at this store and I didn't know that we had a ghost. How long has that ghost been
there? 100% a ghost.
How long has that ghost been there? Was that before my time there?
No, it was after.
Okay.
So,
this could be correlated to a different event then. But yeah.
Yeah, it is. This is the oldest story that I have of that ghost, but there have been several others that other partners have experienced. So
that's crazy. That's such a good story.
It's a great story. Gosh. And I swear to God, I want to know the answer to this day. Even if I don't believe in ghosts, I need to know the answer.
Yeah. So the store manager didn't like run in and then leave right away. And then
no, text her the next day. And she's like, I totally forgot I was coming back.
Oh my gosh. That's she's wild. Like, why? That's wild. Okay. Wow. All right. Well, hey, thanks for sharing that. Whoa.
Yeah.
I don't have a ghost story. I don't really have any stories to tell that I've been told. I consume a lot of horror media, though. So I'll tell you my favorite ghost centric piece of media of all time is The Haunting of Hill House. I rewatch that series every single year. It's the best piece of television I've ever seen in my life, besides maybe some parts of Twin Peaks, but that's that's something that only David Lynch could do. Anyway, cool. Wow. great voicemail. Thanks very much. Thanks very much to all three of the voicemails. We appreciate you very much. We've got three emails as well. I'm going to take the first one here. This one's from JK Awesome. And they said, "Hi, GoCast guys. My kiddos and I have been enjoying the last few episodes. With your thoughts on in-person events, we are booked for New York City in the morning. We hope to see you there, pending my wife's final approval of the trip, of course." Oh, well, good luck.
Nice.
My question this week was was about both of your dexes. I was really surprised to hear that neither of you had pushed to complete yours and had unevolved Pokemon that would help you get your numbers higher. Any thoughts on why? I guess it gets to the reasons we all play. I'm a completionist and feel compelled to make those little gray outlines disappear at all costs. Shinies are fun, but I'm not worried about them, and the Shundo hunt just feels too random to me. Shiny and completionist vibes to you and the community. JK, awesome. Well, I don't know about you, Kyle, but I never look at my Pokedex, and so the missing evolutions are a little out of sight, out of mind for me.
If it's not brand new, 100%.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when Annihilate happened or whatever, like, that's the thing that's featured, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah. I think part of the thing for me is the actual act of evolving is not as important until you need the Pokemon or want the Pokemon. You know, I have, if let's say I have 500 Larvesta candy, I'm not going to evolve my Larvesta because I don't need it. Or maybe I don't have a good enough one, for example.
Yeah.
Larvesta is a bad example because it's very rare. But like, let's say Jangmo-O, who has been out for a while, I have a decent bit of candy from hatching random eggs and stuff like that. I still haven't evolved one. I don't need to. I have enough for the completion. So if I want to complete the decks, I can do that. And like, that's the satisfaction for me.
I think one of the points you made in the middle there about maybe not having a good enough one that you feel like would be worthy of evolving is 100% the leading reason as to why I don't do it. Because I have this thing where like I'm only going to power up to 50 my hundos, and I find myself waiting to see if like during the event that a Pokemon is released, I'm like, I'll wait till the end of the event and see if I get a hundo or a 98 or something before I do it. And then I just don't pull the trigger after the event is over because I forget. But yeah, I think that's a common thing for people that don't evolve is that, oh, this, I only have a 67%. He's like, you know, not yep. good enough. So I ain't going to do it. But yeah, anyway, thank you very much for the email, JK Awesome.
Next email is from Thomas. And they said, "Hello, I have two shiny Rayquaza with Dragon Ascent. And I was kind of a beginner when I was using my meteorites, but I have one with 93% IV that I use frequently and another one with bad IVs, which I keep just for the purpose of trading. What would a fair trade for a shiny Rayquaza with Dragon Ascent? A friend of mine wants it more than anything, but keeps proposing absolutely ridiculous offers. I recently said I would consider trading it with a Galarian Moltres since I have the other two birds and having all three would be really satisfying. Would you consider this a fair trade? We are best friends, not lucky friends." Thomas. All right. I have thoughts, but yours first, Chris.
Oh, okay. It's kind of a tricky question because it is a little bit like a case-by-case basis. If you already have the one, you can't have two Mega Rayquazas up at the same time anyway. So the value of that second one to you is whatever value you really put on it. So like if I look at this and I say, oh, the only thing that you're missing is a Galarian Moltres, that's great. That's a good value trade for you. But if I'm looking at this and you have two Galarian Moltres already and they're offering one for you, then I don't think it's worth it, right? So it really matters what your individual situation is. If you need that, that's a good rare Pokemon to trade your second Dragon Ascent Rayquaza for, I think, personally.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the hard parts about having this kind of conversation, and it's why you're asking the question, is it's really the value you put on it. I have a shiny hat Pikachu that was only released for 3 days in Go. That is a very, very rare Pokemon.
Yes.
But what is the value of it for trading? The value of it is only what the person who's trading me wants. How much do you want the other Pokemon compared to how much you value owning the current Pokemon? Do you really like having a shiny Rayquaza with Dragon Ascent that has bad IVs as well? Remember, Dragon Ascent is a very good move. So, like, it's good to have a Rayquaza with it, even if it has bad IVs, because it's a top-tier flying type attacker. So, like, it has a purpose. It doesn't just exist.
Right.
But on the flip side, if you really want something, you should trade for it. When we had Global Go Fest in 2021, I did like 50 or 60 raids for the shiny Galarian Zigzagoon with a hat. I got it. And you know what I did? I got back to our Airbnb. I went to one of the people who was in our group, and I was like, hey, you got a regular one? I want to evolve this because I like the evolution. And I did it. I traded that for a regular one, and the hat one was so much more rare. And you know what? We got a community day afterwards too, so it's not worth anything.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's okay. It was worth it for me because I liked having it at the time. And so I think that's an important way to look at it.
Yeah, I feel like as long as you're not just giving away like your only shiny Rayquaza with Dragon Ascent for like somebody's Treecko or something, as soon as it starts getting into the gray area, then you start having to just judge it on your own. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, good luck. I hope that the Galarian Moltres sounds good to me personally. Yeah,
I mean, I like that trade. Yeah, like, just as an objective answer for the question, I do like that trade because the Galarian birds have such a high value just for existing.
It's a good deal. All right. We got one more email. This one is from Lol Magikarp, and they said, hello, Chris and Kyle. I want to start by thanking you as well as the PvP Corner team for all of your content. While I initially started listening to PvP Corner to help improve for a local regional, I thought I'd give the main cast a try as well. I've been enjoying both podcasts equally for a while now. Your fun personalities and your banter help keep my mind in the right place before I arrive at work to teach middle school. Oh, boy, you don't get paid enough. Sometimes I even throw in a Pokemon joke or two during class for the extra cringe factor for my students. Love it. But we all know that they love it. Your cast has rekindled my love for the Pokemon franchise that I fell in love with all those years back, choosing Bulbasaur as my first starter with Pokemon Red. Thank you for navigating through capitalization and grammar errors as I typed this out of my iPhone. I would be horrified reading this knowing it came from a teacher who educates our youth. But since this isn't graded, I'm turning this in as is. Thank you. I wish many XL rare candies to you all. Signed, Lol Magikarp. Well, good. I'm glad. I think one of the first times I've heard of a somebody popping in for PvP Corner and then hopping over here.
Yeah, that's awesome. Love
that's,
to hear that.
That's very cool. I also just love hearing that people really love PvP Corner because
yeah. The
value they offer is crazy. When I go back and I listen to the edits that Fish does, I'm always constantly like, wow, I'm really happy that this is a thing because we couldn't get an iota of that information together to present.
No,
like
no,
that.
they are so much more knowledgeable than we could ever hope to be.
Yes.
And they present it in a fantastic way.
Yep. So thank you for supporting that show, Lil Magikarp. And thanks for enjoying the rest. And we're glad to hear it. And thank you for teaching our youth. Hats off. Hats off to you.
Also, some of those students will remember you 20 years from now as the teacher who told Pokemon jokes. So
yes, keep fondly. That up. It's, fondly.
Yeah, it would be fondly, not making fun of. Fondly.
Yes. Yeah.
I know that I would have.
Oh, so. 100%. Oh, yeah. Well, dear listener, if you would like to send us an email or a voicemail, just like these fine folks did, you can by leaving us an email at mail@gocastpodcast.com. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, the number is 262-586-7717. Please visit our website for all things GoCast. It's gocastpodcast.com. Follow us on X at GoCastPodcast. And if you'd like to help support the show monetarily, you can via Patreon. It's a website, little service. That's spelled patreon.com and then /GoCast Podcast. Whereas a little as $1 a month gets you access to our patron Discord, which is like the coolest place on the internet to hang out, I swear. Shout out to our elite trainer tier patrons who help make this possible and stay possible. So big, big shout out to Bo, Daniel, Lori, Michael, Ozzy, Arkham, Marvin, and Mimi, Sforzer with Sui and Ryan, Thayer, Jason, Justin, Charles, Modders, Lee, William, Brandon, Ethan, Steven, Nick, our favorite listener, Drew 2, Camo, the Ugly Rock, Jacob, Victoria, and Sarah Lore. Thank you so much for your generous support and for helping us keep the digital lights on. And if you'd like to help support the show, but money's not an option for you, or you're looking for an additional way to help support, please leave us a review. It actually makes a huge, huge, huge difference for discoverability. And it makes me feel good about myself. And what's better than that? What's more valuable than that? Nothing. we got two new reviews since last time. The one is from our very own Brio. And they said, these two guys are consistent, professional, insightful, and hilarious. You're getting carried away. Sound quality is amazing. Their editing is flawless. You can also watch the video version. Don't hesitate to follow this must-have podcast. Very glowing review. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Yep. And we got one other one from Hope of Sunshine. The title of the review was, "You're the best." And the body of the review was, "I think the same." So I think this was written by two people. But either way.
I like it, though.
Yeah. I think the same. Thank you for the review all the same. That's great. All right, Mr. Kyle, we got to set some goals on our way out of here because we're at the end of the show. We've got Bellsprout Community Day, and I think the last day of Bug Out, if this isn't already, we've got that, but I'm not making any more goals about bugs. I made out like a bandit with those shinies on Heracross Day, so I'm keeping them, taking them to the bank. What are you looking to do this weekend before the next episode?
Okay, going to get 5 shiny Bellsprout. Woo. That's the goal. 300,000 experience and 300,000 Stardust. Nothing fancy this week.
Very nice.
Maybe
very
we'll
nice.
Set something fancy for the end of sustainability week. We'll see.
Ooh, okay. Okay. For myself, 10 shiny Bellsprout, 50 eggs hatched, and 17.5 million Stardust on hand, which means that I have to get 250,000 Stardust. I know I'm going to be able to get more than that with the Community Day bonus. But I want to keep it at this pace. So if I get ahead, that's awesome for me. I'll have an easier time the next week. But 17.5 million Stardust on hand is the goal for next week. All right. That's it then. Thanks for listening all the way through, y'all. We'll catch you in the next one. Make sure to listen to PvP Corner, Star Piece, and all that good stuff. And we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.